What's up, Harmontown? Hello, hello, hello. You know, I'm going to start up from here. Welcome to beautiful Uptown Burbank, everybody. Harmontown. Speaking of Spencer, let's bring out your game master, Spencer Christen. Of course, your comptroller, very happy to be back with Jeff Davis. Let's bring out the man of the hour, the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
Thank you. Thank you. Not a lot to talk about tonight. There was a gunman at large in Las Feliz last night?
Yeah.
Two nights ago?
I never heard what the denouement of that was.
Yeah. No, well, I don't think they caught him, and I don't think they ever told anybody what was going on. So I think maybe it was some kind of Soylent Green or Body Snatchers thing. Like maybe he knew too much. And they either did or didn't catch him, but in either case, they can't tell us what happened.
Do you think it was Antifa?
It could have been Antifa.
You're looking very smart in your bright red Cornell hoodie.
Thank you. I just got back from Ithaca, New York, and they gave me this hoodie. I thought it was a mistake to give me a women's studies degree. Like, I don't know if I earned that. But as Susan B. Anthony says, fuck it. Yeah. See, because I didn't earn the degree. All right.
Did they make you an honorary doctor of anything? Did they give you any fake laurels?
No. That is how does that work when you get an honorary degree in something? You can't use it for anything, right? Like it must be watermarked honorary.
Yeah, I think they say honorary on them.
You can't just use it to go get a job.
You could try.
But red's kind of a nice color on you, Dan. I've never seen you wear bright red.
Yeah, I don't wear a lot of red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Also, wearing a Cornell hoodie, you look very collegiate. You look like you might have just taught poli sci.
Right. Yeah, I had a good time at that school. I guess that's a gig now that I can do. I think I hit some kind of tipping point where I can get invited to speak at colleges, and the ratio of money to labor, which is zero labor, and you're just talking to people that want. I mean, it was just a dude asking me questions. It was like just like doing this show, but worse. I mean, not, it wasn't as entertaining, but they were eating it up.
And you were in that big, beautiful theater there.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous theater. Everybody's really nice, you know, just laughed at everything I said. And
were they too PC? I hear that's a problem.
Nothing of that sort came up, really. It was just a lot of questions about writing and stuff. A lot of kids, you know, TV is dispersed enough now as an industry, there's less money in it, but you know, now that there's 500,000 places to make television, it's kind of satisfying to see these kids are talking about TV like it's carpentry or something, you know, like it's a viable occupation now. And if it's viable enough, if it's achievable enough, then that's going to mean very quickly, hopefully, the representational problems that we have will be, you know, those will get sorted out pretty fast as soon as you can actually think about TV writing as a potential job. The problem is, how the fuck is it? Like, it's not. You're making even less money now. There's more places to try to sell your TV show, but everybody's questions. They're all taking like these TV writing classes and stuff, and everybody's questions are all, you know, how what do I do? And I don't really have the answers for those kids. I'm not somebody that that took a normal path through the system. Spencer, you have a show.
I would say you took the most time honored of all trajectories.
Right,
to
kept
get to
my
where
head
you are.
Down and just put one foot in front of the other. You know, did the work.
Spencer started running.
Yeah, I hadn't really talked about it on the podcast because I didn't want to break the spell, but now I've basically stopped running so we could talk about it.
For a while, Spencer was tweeting there, I jogged 15 miles today and all this shit.
Yeah, I read those, the first one or two of those I thought was a little bit of irony or like you were being facetious, but no, you're really getting it.
Yeah, and that was only after I was confident enough in my skills to actually publicize it. I was going for quite a while before I was doing that.
Were you in a treadmill or were you out in the streets?
No, I was on Griffith Park, out in Griffith Park, running around in a big circle.
Now, is that why your back is all jacked up right now?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Bad. So your knee exploded, right?
Yeah, it's no good.
I'm gonna get a drink while you.
There was a time that I was jogging, and then like when I'd be driving, my knees would hurt, and I thought that Chris is making that noise, but no, it's a soundboard.
Zach McKeever, our sound guru, told me to get some sound effects because we have no audience.
That's a bad fart sound. I mean, I guess it's like a free app fart sound.
That's a sound? That's a professional sound?
See, that's sound that's so bad.
Making a fart sound.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, Spencer.
No, it's fine. I'm just insulting. See, this is bad.
That one's called nose. That's someone blowing their nose, but that sounds like a better fart, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. No. It definitely sounds like a better fart. We gotta get you some good Foley artists to work with.
Oh my God, we do.
You should get a Foley artist instead of a soundboard.
We should have full-on old timey like radio show Foley guys.
We can put him under your podium.
The story is going somewhere because Spencer hurt his knee, his back.
Yeah. So just while driving, it would hurt my knee while I was driving. And then I was like, oh, driving is fucking up my knee. And I kept running. But I think that running was fucking up my knee. And I was only feeling it while I was driving until it got so bad that I felt it after I was running. And then I was like, oh, I bet I'm fucking myself up. And it was bad. And so then again, it would only hurt when I sit and when I was driving. And it would be the worst because I drive for work and also I drive for recreation. I would say I drive between 2 and 3 hours a day, most days. And most of that's just for fun, you know? And so
you just get out in the open road and just.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, blasting doughboys. It's a real fun time.
You went to get.
Well, I went to the doctor, but the day I went to the doctor, then I started getting what I think is sciatica pain, which is like on the side of your lower back. It feels like a nerve pinch down into your I would feel it right under my ass and then in my foot, and it was like really bad. And so I went to see the doctor, and he was like, "Oh, it's just inflammation." And I was like, "Well, there's this new thing that's coming up," and he was like, "Sciatica," and I was like, "I don't know what that is," and he was like, "It's like your legs burning," and I was like, "Well, no," and so he's like, "Okay," but then I looked it up after I left, and I was like, well, fuck, no, that was what I had.
He described it wrong. Yeah, if he had said a tingling or like almost like an electrical pain going shooting down your leg, just, you know, starting somewhere in your ass cheek and then going down. I had that really bad. I thought I was going to have to live with that forever.
What did you do? Nothing?
Well, the first thing that fixed it was an inversion table.
Oh, right.
But and then it started coming back, and I may have fucked up my back more with the inversion table. I was evangelizing inversion tables for a while. Then McGathy had gone to some chiropractor, and that's Dr. God, his name is Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't like inversion tables?
Well, no, of course not.
He likes chiropractic.
I hear that in the medical community, Dr. Phil is known as something of a...
All right. Oh, great. Yeah. If you wanted this to be a morning
I've taken
zoo
this shit
show,
to a new level. People thought when we lost the audience, the show was going to suffer showbiz-wise.
No, we're reaching untold heights.
Yeah, this is real.
But wait, you could have done that when there was an audience here.
I know.
We're evolving.
We're evolving.
While the audience isn't here, it's kind of like being in a cocoon.
An opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so while the knee pain was bad, like, this nerve pain was unbearable, and it came on a lot faster, and so I was like, I can't sit, which is a big part of my job. I can't drive, which is a bigger part of my job. I'm really freaking out. And then I couldn't run, so it's like everything that I had been doing with my life, I just all of a sudden couldn't do, and I was like, what am I doing with my life? And so I talked to Brian LaFada, and he was like, my brother does traditional Chinese medicine. You should see someone like that. And then I was like acupuncture? And he was like, like, sure. And so I was like, you know who does acupuncture? Steve Agee. And he also has terrible health. So I asked him what the deal was, and he recommended me to an acupuncturist. And I was like, yeah, because I got the sciatica. And he was like, holy shit, they really did wonders on my sciatica. And I was like, oh, yeah, jackpot. And so I went like 2 or 3 days later. That's the thing, is that I was scheduling these doctor's appointments, and it's like, we could see you in 2 weeks or whatever the fuck. But then the acupuncturists are like, yeah, come in tomorrow, like come in the next day. And I was like, hell yeah. So it was great, because at this point it was like another week or so before I'd get another doctor appointment. And I was in terrible pain. So I go to the acupuncturist. I couldn't sit down. Like, the drive over to the acupuncturist was like torture. It was really, really bad. And like, by the time I was out of the car, I was like, I don't want to sit back down. And so I filled out the paperwork standing up, and wow. Then they brought me into this room that had like all this weird new age music and like relaxing music and a little steamy thing making vaporizing water into the air. And they laid me down onto a table, and I think this is part of it. There's like mystique. They like cultivate an air of mystique. Like, they don't tell you anything, you know. And there is things that I took as maybe cold reading techniques. She was like, you don't drink enough water. And I was like, I drink a ton of water. And she was like, I don't know. But I actually didn't drink any water that day. And like, when I peed after I left, and like my pee was like neon yellow, and I was like, wow, she really was right. But so they didn't tell me what I was doing. She just started stabbing needles into my back, and it hurt really bad.
Really?
They go, I mean, not really bad. I mean, worse than a shot. But they poke it, and then I don't know why they do it, but they kind of push it in further or kind of twist it around or something. I think she was trying to hit a nerve or whatever, because then sometimes she would stab it right into like what felt like a nerve, and then it would just shoot like lightning down my body, you know? And I was like, you're trying to stay still, but like your whole body's like jerking because someone's stabbing you with fucking needles into your nerves, which are the things that are supposed to feel things the most, you know?
Yeah.
It was really crazy. So she put the needles in, and then she left me for a while and just left. And then she came back, and then she attached wires to the needles and was like, tell me when you feel it. And I was like, I don't feel it. And she's like, tell me when you feel it. And I'm like, what am I supposed to feel? And she was like, you'll know. And then eventually it started feeling like someone was like rattling the little needles because of the electrical shock. I don't know if it was jiggling the needles or whatever, but it was like, so now I'm getting electricity sent through these needles that stabbed into my nerves, you know? And and she turned up the power pretty high because I wasn't feeling it. And she was like, oh, you're a strong guy. And I was like, I don't know. I have a low pain tolerance. This is, you know, pretty painful to be stabbed. I'm just not feeling the lightning. But so then she turned on the lightning, and like it was just zapping my body, and like it was making my nerve, like muscles twitch and stuff. And she's like, just hang out here. And I was like, for how long? And it was like, it felt like 20 minutes just with like this machine buzzing and like just vibrating my body. And I was getting like, it was making my nerves like light up and glow. It was really crazy. But it felt like it was doing something, because those very same nerves, you know, that were in terrible pain were the ones that are now like buzzing with electricity and stuff. So it's not like, it felt like something was happening. And then it eventually, the machine finished, and it made this like crazy beeping sound, and she came back in and she took it all off. And then I didn't know this was going to happen, because again, there's no communication. She just basically shows up and starts doing stuff. And she starts cupping me. You guys know about cupping?
Oh, yeah.
I do now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Cupping is so weird, it better work.
Yeah. I don't know. She cupped me basically on the same, if you don't know what cupping is, it's like a suction cup that they put, and then they use like a balloon pump or some shit to suck all the air of it. So now like your skin is like sucking up.
I thought the artisanal way of doing that is they put like a
fire,
a match in there. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Right. But she was just using what sounded like a balloon pump. Like, you can't see because they put you face down at a table and you're looking through like a toilet seat at a chair that's below your face. And like, you don't know anything that they're doing. You just assume it's not placebo magic. But yeah, so she cut me in all these spots, and that was really painful. Like, that was like as bad as it is to be stabbed with needles that are shooting lightning through your body. Being cupped was really bad.
Are you gonna be mad at Levy if if I saw the photo.
No, I know that happened. You could have just asked, man.
Well, no, well
I'm the victim of revenge porn.
I didn't. Well, I didn't. You know, I it's Levy. Levy had it on his phone.
No,
like,
I know.
Oh shit! And I saw it, and then I just. I'm not usually a like. I just. It was just like. The airdrop thing came up, and I just before I even knew what I was doing, I just hit it. It was just
why
like,
did it come up?
Well, I don't know. It was just there.
Yeah, that's not your fault if an airdrop window pops up.
Well, no, it was. I mean, maybe it's because I hit the share button. I don't know. But
oh well, yeah, okay. Well, that's what the story was. Yeah.
Well,
so you definitely did it.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, well, this seems like a valuable photo. I wasn't going to show it to anybody else. I really don't know
why
that was my instinct. But you wouldn't show it to the viewers, would you?
No, that's the what's embarrassing about that picture is not like it's everything. But the cupping marks, like I have weird acne scars on my back and then stretch marks and like way too much hair. Like I took the picture and I was like, man, I wish that my skin was better because these cupping scars are crazy, but this is like a gross picture.
Well, so anyways, I then take our word for it, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, like this fucking like
you can see cupping pictures on online. It looked exactly
like
that.
It's just like,
except on my ass.
It's like giant hickeys, the diameter of a softball.
Like, yeah,
I mean they
like
just,
a wine glass.
That's
what's
crazy.
The idea? It's drawing toxins out of your bloodstream.
That's what they said. She was like, "It's turning color. That means it's working because it takes stuff out of you." And it's like it's turning color because all the oxygen is being rushed out of my skin to the surface of the skin because of a vast pressure differential. It has nothing to do with toxins, but it felt like anti-acupuncture because they were stabbing me before and then those same spots they stabbed me they were then sucking you know air. I don't know. I don't know if it was like
but they look just like bruises. Are they when you touch them do they hurt as much as a bruise that size would hurt?
One of them kind of hurts. The rest don't really feel like anything.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. But
because it looks like a straight up like paintball bruise. Even worse, really. Just like deep purple.
Yeah.
Like
it was really painful. It was like it's like if you know you get an Indian burn, like they twist your skin on your arm or whatever. It felt like that for like 10 minutes while the cups were on my back. It was really bad. But also, they were making my muscles twitch with the lightning, and so then, like, the muscles that were twitching just felt like I had exercised them to death. Like, they felt dead and really, really, really sore. And so then, by the time it was finished, I didn't feel, like, it wasn't crazy vast nerve pain. Like, I still felt that nerve, like, acting up, but it just kind of felt like my ass was sore. And then I was like, wow, that's really crazy. And so, yeah, then I drove home, and I wasn't in terrible pain on the trip home, which was the same journey, you know, the same length trip. And then the next day, I felt a lot better, and then the next day, I felt a lot better, and today, I feel basically nothing. I was, like, driving around all today. You can kind of feel it a little bit coming in after about an hour of driving.
You feel nothing as in a good thing. Like you're not numb. Wow.
Now,
wow,
okay. I was told, because I had a little sciatica, like, pain a while back, and I was told, and it instantly worked, is do sit-ups, do ab stuff.
Yeah. The one thing I looked up online was this one stretch where you put your leg on a chair and then you kind of pull your toe inward, and I kept doing that, and I think it was helping. There was one time I was driving, and I had to, like, stop driving and get out of the car, and then I just walked around for a bit and then stretched my leg like that until I could get back in, and it was no good.
Here's the tough thing about back pain. You know, your story is about you know the doctor said it's inflammation,
right?
And it could just be,
but that was my knee.
He
wasn't talking about the sciatica at all because, like, he didn't know that was happening, or, you know, he didn't understand it was happening.
Well, anyways, I mean, it's like it could have been because it could have been something pushing.
It probably was
pushing your sciatic nerve, and then that just got reduced, and now we don't know if acupuncture works.
Right. Now, that's the thing, is that anytime I do anything like that, I always have to ask, is like, if I didn't do anything, wouldn't I also improve to an extent over time anyway?
Yeah.
But I don't know. When I talked to Steve, he said he got it for really long bursts, and it didn't feel like it was going away. But then after that treatment, it just instantly started going away. So I don't know. But I mean, you know, not like intuitively. I don't know.
I will say, now that I've been going to this chiropractor for as long as I have, I can definitely scientifically say, comparing it to 40 years of
other back treatments.
Yeah, of going to different chiropractors and then not going to them, or the inversion table and stuff. Like, whatever my chiropractor's doing is actually, it has me pain free. I really thought my whole family, it's the one thing that we have as a weakness on both sides of my family. Like, we have really strong tooth enamel, really strong toenails, strong the hearts, lungs, everything's, you know, we don't have a lot of like streaks of like proclivities, you know, for ailment going through my family tree. We just kind of drink ourselves to death or smoke.
Do you find that the strong toenails has benefited you and your family in some way?
Well, Cody was just pointing that out the other day. I was like, she's like, wow, you must be really healthy. Like, these disgusting toenails that you need to clip immediately are really like, I don't know what they're not flimsy and jaundiced. They're like eagle talons.
Yes, exactly.
If you're just joining us, I'm gross.
But if you haven't seen Dan swoop through your neighborhood and catch a squirrel, it's amazing.
I'm also a bad person. So last time I was on this stage, I made fun of. I think that's a good description. I made fun of the podcast Up and Vanished, hosted by Payne Lindsay, who, you know, I just kind of characterized him as a guy that, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't know what he was doing. He learns what he's doing, but it's just like a podcast about him going like, I don't know how to, I want to do, have a try. I don't know. I kind of made fun of him. I don't think I was like high-fiving him. I don't think I was that flattering. And then tonight I saw that he tweeted, like, he it was clear he had heard the thing because I said he sounded like Chris Pratt, and he said, so he tweeted, I saw a tweet from him that said, well, at least I sound like Chris Pratt. And then I think it had an emoji that was like kind of like a guy with a hand over his face or something like that, like he was embarrassed. Cody looked him up. You know, and you know, he's just an adorable guy. You know, he loves his wife, and like he did a good true crime podcast, and then I made fun of him, and I didn't want him to hear it. You know that some shithead like.
Yeah, someone just probably told him about
like couldn't resist. You know, I just don't understand
like,
that
like
instinct.
The person that felt the need to
Ron Jeremy
to track down Ron Jeremy's Reddit and
yeah,
and
I still maintain that guy though is if he's listening,
he's a good person.
I didn't really think that guy. No, the guy that went to Ron Jeremy, I didn't feel like that guy was really
trying to
cause beef or.
It's just weird that like you say something. Like, I mean, it's stupid to think that what we're doing here is in a vacuum. Of course, what we
right.
say will send ripples out and butterfly effects and all this shit. But, like, it's just, like, everything we say can reach its unintended target.
And yeah. probably will.
And maybe Payne Lindsay was already a listener, which would be rad, you know? He's a fun guy. He'd make a great guest.
We should have him on the show.
Maybe Ron Jeremy's like Chris Pratt.
We should get Ron Jeremy on the show. Get to the bottom of that shit.
Well, we did get to the bottom of it.
Well, did we? I think we have to go straight to the source.
That would be amazing if we got him on the show. We were interviewing, and we were like, "Well, I gotta ask. What's with the banana peel?" And
he has every right to say, "I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe I was drunk and doing a joke." Like he might just throw that away, like so many. Banana peels.
Oh shit!
Yeah, he would have a right to do that, but that would make him a big liar because when the person said it to him, he had a very quick response that he knew exactly what that person was talking about.
Right. I think he had a fallback. I think when somebody goes on his Reddit and asks him a specific questions, he has a cute answer that's very convenient. I think he had ulterior motives that were way more complicated in the moment.
It could be both.
Wow.
I think that's giving him too much credit for being clever to say like he has all these versions of how to deal with people asking him about a banana peel.
Did we talk about my conversation with David Keith?
Keith David.
Keith. I always do that.
Yeah.
Keith David about Cross Mountain Pussy. We've talked about it on the show, I believe, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on for so long, I can't remember.
Yeah, but when he was on Rick and Morty, like I think the last Rick and Morty, right? Maybe we're repeating old news here, but there's a line in the movie Platoon that Keith David says, and he refers to going back, sniffing that cross-mounted pussy down by the river, And Matt Gourley and I from Super Ego fame and Harmon Quest fame have really tried to get to the bottom of what is cross-mounted pussy. Why is it cross-mounted? What are the pros and cons of it being cross-mounted? And Dan worked with him on Community a couple times, and you asked him, and you didn't get a satisfactory answer to that.
No.
He was so nice when I met him, because I was wearing this exact same suit with a kind of a little window pane check, and he was wearing a similar suit. There's a photo that I have, I think, on my Insta noodles, and he was so pleasant. I go, okay, I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to ask you about Platoon. So I got some Platoon questions where he's like, lay them on me. And we talked and talked and talked about cross-mounted pussy, and we finally came to the conclusion. He goes, look, man, I don't know. That was some Oliver Stone shit. Yeah. Like, he just said, I was just reading my lines.
Oh, yeah.
So the answer is, we don't know. So yeah. Now I don't want to have to deal with Oliver Stone about this issue, because he's going to do a Ron Jeremy and have some fucking terse, convenient answer that doesn't satisfy me or anybody else.
Why can't you believe that that's his line? Because here's the thing. It's like you're expecting it to be something dirty, I think, because it's the fact that it's not, that's like, it's a brilliant move.
What I think it was, I think he had a banana peel on his shoulder. I don't think he had a clever line ready to go, or a dirty line, like a salacious like rejoinder when somebody asked him about it. I do know that he seemed bummed out when a guy asked him about it from behind his back. So that leads me in that direction. But I think that maybe he was just doing that. I think he was in a bad mood.
No, come on. We've been over this. We got this figured out from top to bottom. It's a thing that he does. If he sees a banana peel, he puts it. Yeah. He does that. It's one of maybe five
trick.
Things that he has up his sleeve. And it's a. He likes to be funny for the girls and didn't want to be vulnerable with you and was like, yeah. I mean. You just saw a weird side of him.
Yeah, I think then he takes a banana peel. When you ask him if you're a woman, why are you wearing a banana peel? I think it ends up with somehow pussy being cross-mounted.
And I think the cross-mounted pussy is like it's holy pussy. It's like on a cross. It's like Christ pussy.
Oh,
like it's like
shit.
So good.
Yeah,
it's like the best pussy.
That was one of our theories we thought about.
That's probably it.
Cross-mounted pussy. Gross.
Yeah.
If you love a pussy, don't crucify it.
That's about it. It's Schraub's birthday.
Oh yeah,
he's not here. He's
That's
off somewhere. But
present.
I do. I have to. First, Schraub leaves town tomorrow, and he goes back to Milwaukee, and he's going to speak at his alma mater, if I'm using that term right, the place he graduated from, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. And he wanted me to do like an introduction on video for him. So. I guess we could knock that out right now, because you're able to, in addition to live streaming it, you can like also, yeah, you'll have it, and then I can just give them a clip, right? Yeah.
Do you want some music for this, Dan, or is it, you want to go dry?
What do you have?
I don't know. I mean, just the regular shit. You want a beat? You want to wrap it out? What do you got?
Sure. Well, let's try a Rob Schraub introduction rap.
All right. Can you pump that up, Zach?
Yo, the man about to take the stage is all of Milwaukee's rage. He's a graduate of this academy. He's gonna start throwing Adams. Okay, all right. Look, I'm a little sober.
This?
All right. All right. Whoa. Yo.
You gonna start again? You good?
Yeah.
Start again? Okay, go.
Yo. The man about to take the stage is all Milwaukee's rage. He went to Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. He ate your mama's pussy until she... Okay, all right. All right.
This is going to be played at the alma mater.
Don't leave us hanging like
okay,
that.
All right,
I
can just write it.
Until what?
Yo. What? Okay, yo. Yo, which camera should I look into, Chris? This one right here? Okay, all right.
Let's get this right.
Yo.
You're camera three.
The man about to take the stage. Oh, wait, no, wait. How did I? That wasn't right. Okay. Yo. What's up, Milwaukee? Yo. The man about to take the stage is all Milwaukee's rage. He went to Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. He ate your mama's pussy with a squeeze of lime. Please welcome Rob Schraub. Yo. fine arts graduate. Yup, he paints murals on walls. That's not all. He also made Scud, the disposable assassin. And he started right here, taking classes in fine art and graphic design. Ate your mama's pussy with lime, as I mentioned earlier. He also knows how to play the Wurlitzer. No, he doesn't. Forced that rhyme. Also, he ate your mom's pussy with lime. He went to Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. D to the E to the S-I-G-N. He fucked your mama again. Now he's coming out to speak to you, and I'm sure you've got questions. I do, too. Dear Mr. Schraub, how did art affect your life day to day?
Well, I'm pretty sure that
it did good. That's a little sneak preview. And now here's what we're going to do. We're going to dance break.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Schraub is 57,000 years old, so don't make your questions too bold. He might get scared and might run away and then eat some prune juice and curds and whey. It's all he can digest at this point. He's like a mummy. There's food that's too harsh, it's hard on his tummy. He's 57 years old, but he sold his comic book rights to Oliver Stone in 1996. And that's why I'm standing here. All right, let's try. Well, take it from the top in case it needs to be clean. All right, okay. Here's Rob Schraub in case he can use that one. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Schraub. That's not usable. Okay.
I'm gonna start the beat from the top, so you have some.
Okay, and maybe I should enter frame, right? Yo, the man about to take the stage is world famous. He's Milwaukee's rage. His name is Rob Schraub, and he gets the job done. He went here in your school, son. If you ask him for wisdom, you might get it. I can't. Fuck. All right. Okay, wait. Yo, MC Harmon's the name. Hosting Harmontown is my podcast game, but I'm not here to introduce myself. I'm here to pull my best friend from Milwaukee off the shelf. His name is Rob Schraub. He went to your school. He's going to talk, so pay attention. Don't be a fool. Ask him questions about art and shit and how he sucked your mama's tit. Fuck, God damn it.
For those listening at home, Dan keeps leaving the stage and coming back into frame to get that extra showbiz.
MC Harmon is my name. Coming from Milwaukee is my game. That's so dumb. Milwaukee is a town that makes people famous. Brew City, coming from the top. I fucked your mama with the handle of a mop.
This show brought to you by the Weinstein Corporation.
Dairy State. Milwaukee's not the capital. All right, sorry.
You can't rap at all.
All right.
Well, just rhyming. I'm just rhyming. Just rhyming.
All right, okay.
Here we go. I think this is the one. I think this is the one. I can feel it.
My name is MC Dan. I've got a rap. This one has a plan. I'm going to introduce to you a very great man. He went to your school with his butt in a can. It's all he had for tuition back then, but he worked real hard and he started to win. He took fine arts. He took graphic design. He ate your mama's pussy with a squeeze of lime. Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. The alumni time is here. It's time to ask him questions. It's time to make investments into your future by gaining wisdom. Oh, his cum is probably frothy.
One more. All right. talk more about the alumnus has come.
My name is Dan Harmon. I'm pretty charming. I don't need to introduce myself. I'm going to bring my best friend off the shelf. He's went to your school called Myad. He's not in the Chinese triad, but if he was, that would be fine. His balls have fuzz.
So do mine.
God damn it. So do mine. I know, but I got to keep it clean, right? Because his mom's going to be there.
Too much shoe leather. That's it's hard.
I hope this is the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, it could be. Why not?
All right, we'll just...
It's fun. Right, you want a different beat? You like that one? You want to try something else? It might open up the cans here a little bit. Let's try this one.
Yo, about to come to the stage right now. Someone that made Milwaukee on the mapper than it was before. I'm not going to tell you his name till the end of this freestyle rap. By me, Dan Harmon. Yo! Milwaukee is a city sitting on the river. It's kind of shitty. Fuck. God damn it. I can't. Okay, just start it. Start. Use that same track.
From the beginning?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. This one's real. This is like you're sitting at my ad and then the screen comes up. Okay.
Use Milwaukee's awesome city motto too when you get a chance.
Okay.
Because I adore the Milwaukee city motto.
Right. Okay. Sup. Milwaukee's generated very many fine specimens of human being. George Clooney, I assume, don't look it up. Myself, MC Harmon, and the man that's about to take the stage. My name is Dan, D-A-N, and I'm about to bring the master of Milwaukee in. He is a great person from a great lake. His credentials are not fake. He went to Myad, that's the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Man, god damn it, fuck you. His name is Rob Schraub, but don't applaud yet, cause the job ain't done. I'm gonna rap and then run and introduce him. His dick is so big, it's got gluten in it. He's fine arts. Majored in fine arts. No, he didn't. I think he majored in graphic design. And then he created Scud. All right. God damn it. I fucked up. Can we do just one more? I swear to God, one more.
Got nowhere to be, man. I'm having the time of my life.
I actually got to be somewhere in 20 minutes, so.
For real?
No.
You got to go back to get some sweet cupping going on?
Yeah, sweet cupping.
Sweet cupping.
Right. Sweet cupping cakes.
I'm going to cup the shit out of you later, Spencer. All right, here we go. You ready, Dan?
Yeah.
Just Dan, let it fly.
I know, but I can't be profane.
Don't be profane. Just let it just go. Okay. Be yourself.
Yo. I'm here to introduce the most important man that ever came out of Milwaukee. It's not me. It's my best friend, Rob Schraub. Schraub. S-C-H-R-A-B. Milwaukee is the place you want to be from. This is the shittiest rap. I can't do it.
You got it.
I can't fucking do it.
You gonna try another beat?
Yeah, give me one more beat. I'm sorry.
This is good.
Okay.
This is the one.
Yo. A great place by a great lake. Josh Robb's coming to the stage. He's not fake. He's got his credentials from MIAD. You're going to see he's the man to see. You're going to ask him some Q's and A's. He's going to soak up Milwaukee's rays, get the vitamin D from the sun's always shining. Fuck, graphic design, and I could have said, God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yo, ain't no joke. He's going to come out. Fuck. I just want to do a good job, you know?
You had to sign in right there. I love it. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, don't think.
Okay.
Just like when you... Yeah. Clean entrance. Make it clean. Clear frame.
You're clear.
Here we go. You know, for $5 a month, you can watch Dan clear frame. For our subscribers. Here we go.
Yo. What's up, Brew City? Yo, you ain't shitty to me. A great place by a great lake. But now I'm bringing up the man, for God's sake. He's my best friend that went to your hometown with you. He went to my ad, so what you gonna do? You're gonna ask him questions and learn some stuff. I ate your mama's muff last night. Fuck. Okay, no, here we go. S-C-H-R-A-B. He is the man to see. Get some wisdom from him. He's about to start coming now, right up to the stage. He's the man that gave my ad all its rage and all its glory and all its passion. Don't talk to me about crashing a party when you're supposed to be home drawing. Do your homework. Rob Schraub, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Schraub. Here he comes, Rob Schraub. Here he is. All right, well, then let me do one. So save that one, and then
Jesus.
Chris, all right, can
well,
we
okay,
that
one more. You're saying
I thought the mama's muff was good.
All right, well, one more, and then we'll. But then I also have to do one that's like just like in case he can't use the rap at all. I'll do one where I just say stuff.
Okay, you want the beat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yo, aw, yo, aw, yo, oh, my name is Dan Harmon, I come from Milwaukee, but I'm not there for tonight's walkie-talkie today. Fuck, what?
I had the horrible feeling you were going to say bukkake.
All right, one more. Yo, ah, yo, yeah, yo, yo, yeah. Yo, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my name is Dan Harmon, I come from Milwaukee. Rob Schraub's coming out like bukkake in a minute. He's gonna be fucking at you, asshole. Jeff Davis put that rhyme in my head, but now I'm introducing Rob Schraub instead. He's my best friend for about 30 years. Is that how old we are? But we started drinking beers where you are, right there in your hometown. But when Rob Schraub was home, he was down in the basement drawing robots and shit. And that's why he's here. Get over it. He's the super alumnus. You're going to be glad you come to this. You're going to ask him questions and stuff. And I'm not going to say muff. Here he comes to the stage. He's the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design's rage. He's the most famous dude, the most powerful. Not that those things matter, but here you go. You're going to get a taste of what makes him great and ask him really important questions, for God's sake. Don't just say, can I have a job, because you can't. So here he comes with his special pants, Rob Schraub.
Yeah, we got that one. That's the one.
So we'll give him that one.
I think the faculty and the parents that attend that are going to be happy to know that the special guest is coming on stage like bukkake.
All right.
Means a lot.
Okay. Hello, Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. I'm Dan Harmon. I'm also from Milwaukee. I did not go to your school. I went to Marquette for a little bit, and then I dropped out. But Schraub, I shouldn't say his name. I should save it for the end. Okay, take two. All right, mark it. Yo. S to the C to the H-R-A-B. Coming to the stage is the man you want to be. If you stay in school and major in graphic design, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, it's not that, it's not cheating to rhyme design with design if that's the name of the school. Rob Schraub is the man you need to ask questions of. All right. Obviously, I'm not going to just suddenly do a good rap. We thought for a second I would. All right, here we go. So here's the verbal one. Okay. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to walk off stage and just going to hear a gunshot, and the birds are going to start singing again. All right. Hello. Are you an artist? Or is your son or daughter one? Or is your child non-gender binary? Starting over.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Hello, Milwaukee. Thanks for voting for Trump, you fucks. Yeah, I was going to come back and visit too, but I had socks to sort. You fucks. I know. Milwaukee probably didn't vote for him. I'm sure it's a blue island in a big, dumb red state. All right, here we go. Butter emails. All right. Hello, Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. I did not go to you, but I did live in your city. My name is Dan Harmon, and I have become famous. But I am about to introduce somebody even more important than myself. He's the reason why I went to Los Angeles on a U-Haul with only my mattress and a pile of hustlers in a crate. And now I'm so glad that I followed him and listened to him. He always had the best advice for me. I every single time I ever asked him for any feedback on a screenplay or how to solve a problem, his advice throughout my entire life was always the exact right advice. I only kept failing because I very often forgot to follow it. He's a really, really, really special, really smart guy. And he went to your school and he benefited from all it has to offer. So I think this is going to be a great evening for you. Sorry, I can't make eye contact with you. Please welcome back to your Institute of Art and Design, Mr. Rob Schraub. Okay. All right. Good enough, right?
Yeah. That was good.
All right.
I almost did this one.
Should we play D&D?
Yeah.
It's a bit early, right? Well, I mean, I guess that doesn't
matter. No, Dan just rapped for 90 minutes.
I get that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the rapping segment
was
short.
I have little tears in my eyes right now, Dan. That was exciting.
Well, can I do one rap now that we're not... That doesn't have to be clean?
You can do all the raps you want, baby.
I feel like...
Which do you feel any difference rapping to the lack of audience, or is that not a factor?
I don't know. I mean, have I ever been good?
You have your moments when you really lay it down.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can create some without the audience.
Zach, what's that beat you got? Let's do something new. You got a beat you can lay on us, or is that going to be hard? Yeah, I like when you DJ because you got the goods. Zach McKeever, everybody on audio.
All right. Yo. 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 Oh, no. Oh, shit. Here we go. Yo. About to spit fire. Dropping science, taking me higher. My rap is a function of biology. I fucked your mama so hard, it was Scientology. I cleared the thetans off her neck. I fucked her, rolled her over, heck. I said to your mama, go back to church. I fucked your mama like her name was Lurch. From the Addams Family, got a hand in a box. Going up into your mama's socks, putting them inside out like the pantyhose. Fucked your mama, cause that's the way it goes. I fucked your mama, cause that's the way it goes. Fucked your mama, cause that's the way it goes. Turned your socks inside out like pantyhose. I fucked your mama, cause that's the way it goes. Went to the garage, built a canoe, cause I had nothing else to do. It's the new hobby that I'm pursuing. I fucked your mama and started chewing on her labia, but not hard, just a nibble, just a tiny love nibble. She asked for it. She likes it. Went up to the attic. I fucked your mama. She was ecstatic. She said, go get the handcuffs. I fucked her so hard, she had dandruff. fucked with her follicles with my dick. Made her hair retain more grease because of my dick. Fucked your mama 7 ways. Fucked your mama for 19 days. Fucked your mama, didn't drink any water. Fucked your mama, made 2 sons and a daughter. Sent them to school, paid for their education. Fucked your mama all across the nation. Fucked her in Canada, fucked her in Mexico too. Fucked her in North America. Okay? I fucked her everywhere. Fucked your mama. I fucked your mama. I fucked your mama. Here we go.
Fucked your mama.
Race. The Olympics give medals for shit, but I never depended on it. Just fucked your mama so good they gave me one. I sold her. I just did that for fun. They said, "Here's your gold medal. You fucked your mama so good." I said, "Look, I just got special wood. It's all I do. I just fuck mamas. Now along comes you. You're telling me that you got a metric and a reward system. I don't know. I'm not even listening. I only fuck mamas for fun. Only fuck mamas till they say I'm done. I follow their guidance and their permission for my emission. Nocturnal or daylight. Fuck your mama so hard she says it, I stay right. Fuck, god damn it. Don't lose your flow. Oh, you're doing so good, Harmon. Keep going. Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. An aircraft carrier made out of pussies. Alright. I wasn't going anywhere.
Okay. Please continue that thread.
Alright. What's that? An aircraft carrier made out of pussies. I mean, what are you gonna get Gary Busey's? What are you gonna rhyme?
Yes, yes, exactly.
A big ship made out of vaginas. I landed on it, the USS in North Carolina. I got out, said mission accomplished. I fucked your mama so hard, she made my dick a dish of filet mignon. And I served it till I was... okay, alright, just backing up. Okay, alright, okay. Oh, I went back. Okay. Just take it easy. Okay, here we go.
Everybody, right. Here we go. Everybody take it easy.
Everybody take it easy. Yo,
take it
yo,
easy.
Yo, rapping like this, rapping like that, kicking in the air. Fuck your mama, don't even care. Raised my hands, lowered them down. Fucked your mama like a birthday princess or a clown. Put out some balloons, made them into animals. Fucked your mama so hard, that's the way it always goes. Oh, I went into the pool, I took a pee and grabbed a bar stool, put it in my butt, got 3 friends. And that's where that story ends. Crossed the threshold, met with a goddess. Fucked your mama so hard, and stitched her a bodice. All right.
Damn.
You rhyme goddess with bodice. You good. Fucked a mama so hard that she ended up having dandruff.
Yeah, that was it.
You fucked all the moisture out of her scalp.
You made a canoe. You said I don't want to nitpick. You said like make a canoe, and then you like did a rhyme about chewing, but you could have said like wet canoeing.
Yeah,
that would have been fun.
You said I made a canoe because that's what I was doing, and then I took the canoe and started chewing. You could have started canoeing.
But like, no.
Look, we
had a lot of fun.
We're armchair rappers.
Right,
it's easy. We're Monday morning rappers. It's easy from over here.
It's easy to be a Monday morning rapper.
Which is certainly the title of this episode.
You know, it's that time of year when that people associate with getting underwear for the holiday.
How many times have you reached into your stocking above the fireplace and pulled out inferior underwear?
Most of the time, I would say.
Well, just underwear itself, even if it's, I don't know, not inferior. If it's just regular underwear, you have to force yourself through the, you know, fake gratitude. Because a regular underwear is a shitty gift. It's a garbage because it's like usually a big burlap sack made of cotton.
So what you're getting at is that it's not just underwear, but it's the badness of the specific underwear that makes the gift impractical and poor?
Yeah. So here's what I'm suggesting. Let's take back the holidays this year and let's just all give ourselves superior underwear for which we are grateful.
You're talking about MeUndies.
I'm talking about MeUndies.
It's a holiday miracle of softness next to your butt.
The M is for modal, the microfiber softer than cotton. The E is for elastic bands that are snug.
This holiday season, I don't care if you're Christian, if you're Muslim, if you're Jewish, whatever.
We care a little bit if you're Jewish.
We care a little bit, but that's
because we want to thank you for creating the religion that our the sequel to which we all grew up on.
Well, let's stay on topic. Are you worried that your underwear is too Zionist?
Do you want a two-state policy for your balls?
Let's all make an agreement this holiday season that we stop giving each other terrible underwear. It's been going on for too long. Dan, remember a couple years ago when I opened up my Christmas present from you? And I pretended, I feigned enjoyment about the terrible underwear that you gave me.
Right, yeah. But what you really wanted was natural, sustainably sourced fiber-based underwear.
Of course, Spencer. That's what everybody wants. And now we've found out that it's possible. All you got to do is go to MeUndies this holiday season to get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks you will ever wear.
I haven't checked out the Me Socks
yet. I want these socks. Free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee. You go to MeUndies.com/Harmontown.
MeUndies made underwear the perfect gift that everyone is going to love you for. It's a goddamn holiday miracle. This year, don't give underwear. Give MeUndies.
Have yourself a micromodal Christmas. Let your
balls hang down.
Cradle them with sustainable, eco-friendly fibers.
Just hear those undies jingling with a micromodal tingling, too.
I got a diamond pouch. Put your junk inside. I could vouch for you.
As Jesus hung from the cross, bleeding to death over 3 days, he must have wished he could be down, let alone wear comfortable underwears.
That's MeUndies.com/Harmontown.
Let's bring Steve Levy to the stage.
Oh, yeah, Levy.
Give me some Levy.
Steve to the leave. What's up, Steve?
Hey. Yeah. What's up?
What's going down, baby?
How easy is it to show people my new favorite game?
Chris, can we...
If I have it plugged in here, can it be...
So, Stevie, how's your love life?
No, oh, come on. Did you just call me Stevie?
Yep, it's a portmanteau.
I love it.
I didn't do it on purpose.
My family, when I was a kid, they used to call me Stevie Levy.
Right. I can imagine.
I got it up on my screen.
Yeah, but that's their fault. That's kind of a Monopoly guy.
So, for
if you
the
name
folks
your kid
at home...
A we name that's going to rhyme with the last name. You, that's not being clever.
Three old people on a
Steven,
screen.
Steven, I don't know.
Yeah. Two of these
it's
dudes
It's like naming your kid Robbie Schraub.
Come on, don't make me feel that old.
I mean old
oh,
in
here
terms
we go.
Of historical.
Look at this game.
It's like a crafting
cavemen.
Game. What's it called? I got to figure out the name.
What's this one called?
Dawn of Crafting.
Dawn of Crafting. So what's the purpose here?
So we got three guys. We got like an inventory
sheet. So you're
sheet
a caveman
and
you take these
interface.
Things... And then you can craft, right? So I got a rock and then another rock and you craft. Oh, okay.
Ooh. What'd you make?
Well, okay. And then you can make that knife and then you can take the knife and you could probably
slice some vegetables.
What? See, and then you. Oh, see, that's a new thing I learned, sliced eggplant.
Oh, so you learn new recipes.
Why are those leaves flying by in the background? Is that just for fun? No,
it's ambience. Yeah. Well, maybe that's showing the wind direction.
Are you in a straw hut?
Yeah. Oh shit. We'll see. I don't.
Are
I don't
you all
really.
Three of those guys, or are you playing? You're playing the
yeah,
wizards.
Yeah, I mean, I am all three of them. Look, I'm not giving it a good. People are gonna think it's a dumb game, but it's not. It's cool.
All right. No, people are digging it.
All right, that's enough.
Spencer, do you remember that game on like MS-DOS where you play as cavemen and you try to? There's like a wheel.
No.
It's called Dawn of Crafting. If you are even remotely a fan of crafting.
Dan, is there any danger of dinosaurs coming and attacking this crafting situation?
No, it's not written by a Christian. Oh.
Yeah.
Right. That's so confusing.
Yeah. Look, I just downloaded this sound effects app 3 minutes before showtime, and I didn't really have time to vet these sounds.
You're doing everything right.
All right.
Levy. Well,
we got to talk about love life.
No.
Levy, what's going on in Levy's romantic situation?
There's not much.
Every time Steve comes up,
not much happening. I told you, give me time. Then maybe I'll have something to report.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I...
Do you guys see, speaking of our sexy friends, like Steve Levy. Did you know that Kumail Nanjiani is today's People Magazine Hot Guy of the Day?
Oh, like, yeah?
Of the day? I think puts him in the running for the hottest man of the year. Running,
yeah. Oh, are they picking 365
I don't know. I don't know how the whole thing works, but there's a picture of him having breakfast in bed with leather pillows, and he's got, like, grapes and three cocktails, and he's looking good.
Well, he'll probably handle that well.
What do you mean?
No.
You know who he is.
Last time he was on the show, he came out with a crown on his head, and his movie wasn't even out yet. That was just Silicon Valley. That guy's we're all going to be working for him.
Yeah. What's it like to be less famous than one of your friends?
It's not. I'm not jealous. It just hurts to see other people succeed.
That's what can you. Delineate the difference between jealousy and it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's some kind of condition I have. I just experience physical pain when other people succeed. Right. So I don't know. It's not jealousy. Jealousy is a bad quality.
You just can't enjoy your friends doing well.
I do enjoy it, but it hurts. Okay. God, it hurts. It physically hurts me.
You need some cupping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This
kind of cupping.
All right.
That sound effect implies that I was going to cup you with my dick.
So right. Levy's not talking.
Not talking.
What do you want to talk about, Levy?
No, he's just being bashful. Like he's being
in
character.
Let's give Steve 60 seconds to talk about whatever subject or subjects he would like. Go. No one else talk.
So the Miami Hurricanes won yesterday.
Oh, big awesome. Game.
Yeah, there you go. It was a big rivalry. Catholics versus convicts. You guys know about that?
Oh, yeah. I saw that documentary that ESPN.
30 for 30. 30 yeah, for 30, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm a Miami Hurricane, and we stomped out Notre Dame.
So you're a convict.
I'm a convict. Yeah.
Do they own that, or is that totally bullshit? Like do they kind of embrace that as a joke?
Oh, they embrace it. Like even the announcers during the game are like,
that's great.
Mentioning it. Yeah.
Is it Notre Dame? You said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they invented this thing this year where every turnover, which is like where they force
change of possession.
The change of possession. So when the other team has the ball and they intercept it or recover a fumble. Whatever player forces the turnover, they get this giant golden chain with the U on it, the turnover chain, and then they wear it. It's like 8 pounds or something. Apparently.
During the game?
During the game.
No.
No, they don't wear it on the field, but okay. They wear it on the sideline, and they're like, they get their moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dan, you ever check out a 30 for 30?
A 30 for 30, no. Yeah.
You might like it. It's the narrative part of sports, not the sports part.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm watching the one. I'm halfway through the one about Ric Flair. Have you watched that one?
That sounds crazy. Really interesting.
It's called Nature Boy, and it's really good because I didn't know that much about Ric Flair and what his life was like. But like, I don't know. He's still with us, and he still looks like Ric Flair. But like, there's still teams that in their locker room warm up. Chant like his like ring banter, like when he would come into the ring and grab the microphone, they quote Ric Flair. That's how much of an impact he had on like sports as celebrity,
right?
And now he's like a yoga guy, right?
Don't spoil it for me, Spencer.
Ric Flair was the guy whose catchphrase was woo,
yeah, woo.
That's
the chant. But he go like I'm the wheeling dealing, kiss stealing, you know, like Glockenspielen. He didn't say that one. I made that up.
That would be great.
But that'd be amazing if he was Glockenspielen.
Because catchphrases hadn't been, you know, the industry wasn't in full swing yet. So well, your catchphrase could just be woo.
You'd already had Muhammad Ali, but he was certainly standing on Muhammad Ali's shoulders, and he kind of I think not ripped him off, but certainly was doing his silver haired riff on that. But, yeah, he was, you know, just, like, cheating on his wife all the time and doing, you know, like drinking a lot and wrestling a lot and saying woo a lot. But it's a good documentary.
What do you guys do when you go home at night?
Like, every night?
Video games and sleep or emails or... Something like that.
Church and I get on the couch and we'll watch like Chop Jr. and fucking yell at the TV.
Oh, yeah. Chop Jr. is so much better than Chop. It's not even funny.
Is that the one with the kids?
Yeah.
So my brother, you know how they do fantasy sports, like fantasy football and
sure.
stuff?
Sure.
No. They draft in the beginning of the season. All of his friends go in and they get, I think, five kids and they all put money in and then it's whoever's kid ends up... winning gets the pot.
I'm not a fantasy sports fan. I don't do that, but I could get down on that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
They have a blast. They all get around. They watch the episodes together and are yelling at each other when the kids are like screwing up cooking and stuff.
Yeah. I feel like you guys are having more fun living than me. Like you're
Dan.
I agree.
What do you do when you go home?
I don't have fun either.
Well, Cody and I we just like being together. We watch if we watch something, we'll watch like a true crime thing. But then we'll just listen to one of a list of podcasts and things. But
yeah, that sounds really boring. Spending time with loved ones.
I'm just saying. I'm not talking about you guys are having more fun. I guess I mean like you guys seem like you're in a better mood than me. That's what I meant
tonight.
Like lately, you know, like I've been feeling like with very little variation, like I've been like getting closer and closer to just like I just about the world. I'm just so deeply cynical. Like I just hate people so much.
But I feel like you've been pretty good. I feel like you've been in a good place.
Well, I
outside
think,
of that.
Well, there's an irony there, though, that's like kind of deceptive because I think I truly like have kind of given up on humanity. So once you've done that, you get in bad moods less because you're like, oh, you're not they're not letting you down anymore. And you're not like striving to accomplish anything. I'm just like, oh, I live on a planet of fucking drooling, babbling animals.
I know that I'm in a worse mood generally lately than I have been probably ever. Yeah. And I don't know if that's just the ravages of time or the fact that we have a moron, illiterate douchebag president who constantly every day makes us embarrassed to be alive.
I have a theory/rant about, like, I don't know. You know, we've learned so much about psychology recently. You know, for the longest time, we haven't understood psychology and sociology on the level we have and, like, trauma and how that impacts the brain and stuff. But, you know, there's obviously been human atrocities and terrible tragedies and trying times through all of human history and stuff, but I don't know how often we've been able to really think about it on that level. I wonder if, you know, this sort of stuff has an effect on people historically. Like if you went back to, I don't know, like the Great Leap Forward or something or Holocaust times, if people weren't also feeling like that, you know, just generally more agitated, more at odds with people. I wonder if that's something that's happening.
I would say it probably certainly does. Like it's
like a low grade PTSD.
If you look like these giant protests and all those Nazis and 60,000 fucking.
Yeah, that's
like,
so terrifying. Crazy.
That's an unhappy world saying, Fix it.
Where are you talking about?
Warsaw, 60,000
Poland. Yeah,
proudly.
Yeah, that's when I really checked out, man. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm Polish. Polish people are. We're the original Nazi victims. I mean, we're like we were getting picked on. Like my ancestors fled that shit. Like it's like. It's fucking insane.
The entire city of Warsaw was bombed into oblivion. Like there's probably not more than a couple buildings that are still standing pre 1940, you know, four. The whole place just got annihilated.
It just makes me check out, you know. Like I don't. There's nothing. It's just so much bigger than all of us, you know. It's so inexorable, and so you just want to go. Well, shit. I should have spent the last year, you know, sticking to my elliptical and actually like building a doomsday shelter and all this stuff because it didn't happen overnight. So I kept snapping back out of it and going, things will be okay. But like, it's just like, the truth is, or at least feels like that it's like, okay, we're on like a 5-year slide into hell on earth in one form or another, whether it's nuclear annihilation or just like fucking like, total like global fascist coups resulting in like a crazy like I can't tell which is going to be worse, like the war version of it or the peace version of it. But like in any case, like just like the definition of inhumanity, like getting so much harder to meet. In other words, like atrocity becoming more and more tolerable and people pulling back more and more. I saw that photo of Poland, like, it's just like, I'm
yeah,
just
it looks
out.
Like Mordor.
I'm just out. Yeah. I can't, what am I supposed to do? Throw a tin can at it? Like, what, how am I supposed to brush my teeth? Why, how can I give a fuck? Like, the people have spoken. Like, they want to die. All right, so anyways,
so Steve, who are you seeing right now? Anybody? You got a squeeze on the side? <of the golf. laughs>
I don't have anything currently.
I sat next to a 73-year-old lesbian woman.
I saw this. This is good.
This is good.
At the bar, where our flight was delayed, and
she was a heavy. She was just. She started chatting me up because we were both Kettle One drinkers, and also the no lime thing. She heard me on the plane, like making a big deal out of it, and. But the guy in the plane, did you hear the guy? I go, no lime. And the guy's like, uh-huh. Yeah. And I go, no lime. And he goes like, yeah. And I go like, I can't stress this enough. No lime. And he's like, all right. And then when he brought
maybe,
me the drink.
Maybe he heard your raps about how many pusses you ate with a little bit of
he
lime.
He brought me the drink back and he goes like, did someone on this flight give you a lime? Like he giving me two. It was like, motherfucker, like, no, not this flight. What do you got? Flight patriotism? Someone on your fucking airline every goddamn time. The flight out there, like, this is what happens every, no lime. And then come back. I got a shish kebab of limes, because like steeped, like
remember,
swished around.
They remember you said lime,
and I said, you got it. I said no lime, and she goes, oh, all I heard was lime. Okay. All right, look, language doesn't work that way. All I heard was lime. If all I heard was now boarding and I just decided to get on the plane, you'd fucking beat my ass like you did that one guy when you wanted to make money. You expect me to hear more than the words that I feel like hearing. Fuck you, United Airlines. Fuck you. You fucking fuck all airlines. Fucking cartel.
Especially United.
There, I got found something to be angry about. But the guy's like, he was just like, did someone, is that like the offense? Like, why are you offended? I'm the fucking victim here, man. I'm the one that's getting limes put in all my shit all the time. I'm the fucking lime guy. You're not. You're just a dude that's like wondering why I really need you to know no lime in it. You fuck.
Whenever I get soda, like, I always ask for just the can and not the glass, because if you ask for the glass, they'll just put like 4 ounces of soda and then keep the can, and then they never do that. And it's like you're not even going somewhere else. You're just reaching in to grab a can, and I don't know.
I hate restaurants that. when you order delivery and they have Diet Coke on their menu, and then you order a Diet Coke, you're like, that sounds great. And they bring you a taped up ass fucking plastic thing filled with ice. It's like probably represents like 2 ounces of actual Diet Coke from a soda fountain instead of a can. Give me a can of Diet Coke.
It's
all right.
Taped up.
Well, yeah, they tape it up because, you know...
So it doesn't spill?
Yeah, because they have to put all this effort into saving money. Just give me a can of Coke, you knobs.
Dan, Church points out, like, there are things to be happy about. Were you heartened at all by the fact that we, like, on these last elections, people...
Sikh,
trans people, lesbians, Black Lives Matter people...
That's what the 73-year-old lesbian and I did talk about, where, like, I have to be perfectly honest with you. The timing of this is, like, I was checked out. Like, I wasn't there for that victory mentally. I heard about it third hand, you know, like after the fact, because I wasn't following it. I wasn't rooting for anything. I wasn't invested. I was like numb. But that is great to hear. It is. And it's great to hear that guy molested a 14-year-old. That's my best.
It is great.
That's so funny.
Did you see the guy? The guy with the I retweeted that guy
with the hammer.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I stole your
no,
thing because I just go through.
I'm not doing
stuff.
Any jokes. I'm just so angry. Like
I got
that's,
so
I,
many
I'm just
retweets
yelling
though.
At people all the time.
This
on
is
Twitter
about the
now.
Guy taking a Keurig,
yeah,
expensive owns. Thing that he bought. Keurig has his money.
Here's my question.
He took a hammer out, which is at least...
Which I believe... I want to know... I'm trying to piece together the narrative. Like, I want to take out index cards and with each fact that we know, because one of them is that he owns that machine. One of them is that he... I won't say what wants... To, you know, loves fucking children. Like, but he
We
he,
won't go that far.
But we know
he might
that
not
he,
love
he,
fucking
he supports
children.
Hannity. Like, so that's one index card. And then he's... I was thinking, like, did it become his favorite show because of the child fucking support, or was it already his favorite show? And then he saw, and then Hannity came on the episode and was like, I think that it's okay that this guy fucked a kid or tried to fuck four kids. It's fine. It was 40 years ago. And hey, look, kids are kids. They know what they're doing. They know what they signed up for when they turned 14. And the guy was like watching it, and he was like, fucking A, finally, like a show that's talking my language. And then the commercials came out, and the coffee maker commercial came out and said, like, wouldn't you like a delicious cup of Kurgan coffee? Cougar Ran coffee. And he was like, fuck, I love coffee. Or he hates coffee, but he went out and was like, I want to support this sponsor.
Hannity.
Yeah. And then he brings it home and he's like sipping it. He's like, I'm not even a coffee fan, but I just love fucking kids. And then he saw the news and he's like, God damn it.
Some guy, I made a joke, like a tweet about, like, you know, I've always refused to make coffee out of any machine that by a company that isn't 100% into pedophilia. And then some guy responded, and logically, whoever it is, I did block him because I read some of his other stuff and I didn't dig it. But what he said was fine to start a conversation, but I just know where the conversation is going to lead. And it was, so if I accused you of molesting me when I was 14, you wouldn't want your friends and family to presume you innocent and protect you until blah, 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 blah. Nice to know. If you didn't say the nice to know thing, I might have replied and, like, not instantly blocked him. But the thing is, like, your presumption of innocence thing, yes, of course, everyone's presumed innocent. I mean, is innocent until, is presumed innocent until proven guilty. But not Obama when he was a Muslim.
He admitted it. They're like, here's these kids. They're coming forward. They're saying he touched me. He goes on television. I never dated any daughters underage without their mother's permission. Yep. That's admitting it. He admitted it. Not even alleged. He fucking did it.
And he did say, I didn't buy anybody any beers.
Yeah. No, but that's saying I did it.
Yeah.
But, like, people are saying, he admitted it.
Like, Bill Cosby hasn't been proven guilty. 9,000 women said he raped them.
Bill Cosby hasn't admitted it.
Yeah. You go, yeah, but exactly. But
to his credit.
He's a fighter.
Listeners, if you take one lesson away from tonight's show, keep your mouth shut.
Okay, but does Keurig make money off the K-Cups? I thought any company can make K-Cups. And
they make the machine.
Right. So they're not continuing to make dollars after the purchase because you get your K-Cups from, you know, anywhere.
He could have got K-Cups from a pedophile company and actually really stuck it to Keurig in
yeah.
a way.
Somebody, I don't know who it is, somebody, if you can find it on my Twitter replies to that tweet. I forget who it is. Someone said, that's why I get all my coffee from Chock Full of Nambla.
I
would have said Chock Full of Underage Nuts.
The thing that I think is really funny is the idea of boycotting a company for pulling its sponsorship. I think that's really funny. Like, because we're not really, it's already too complicated.
Yeah,
like,
if you want
you don't think the company already did the math on this? Like they're the ones with the most at stake. You're so dumb, you're smashing your own property thinking it's punishing someone. They have accountants and PR people, like, they crunched the numbers and said, look, I wish we weren't in this situation, but the truth is we make a penny more in the long run if we don't sponsor the pedophile show. But also the funny thing about it is, like, you're punishing the free market. You're punishing a company just not doing anything. They're going like, well, we just don't want to.
A lot of people's beef,
pulling our sponsorship.
A lot of people's beef is that it looked like the optics of it looked like that Keurig pulled their sponsorship after tweets
So say they did. How the fuck do you want a corporation to behave?
Liberals
aren't this insane, you know. Like there's a lot of dumb liberals. Like 85% of everybody is
overreacting to everything at all times. But it's just
they imitate the right imitates the left, and it's like just
like bizarro.
But they don't understand. It's like you realize that they're sociopaths because you go like you don't understand anything then because like it's different to say oh. It was like this is the list of sponsors for this thing that we don't like. Okay, Uber, you're in the crosshairs. We're not going to take Uber. Okay, everybody, I'm deleting my Uber app. Here's a video of me deleting it. Hey, don't sponsor Uber because Uber sponsors this thing. And then you wait for Uber to cave or don't cave. Like this idea of because they don't even have that. They can't go to shows that aren't supporting pedophilia and then say like I'm going to stop using your rideshare service until you support.
That's why Jeff's joke is so perfect, because what are you trying to say other than I only support companies who defend pedophilia monetarily?
Yeah. I mean, and it's pretty insane.
It is insane.
I only want coffee. Everyone should have the right to defend pedophilia and make me a delicious cup of coffee.
Right. It's an absurd position, but that's their espoused position admission.
I love people throwing their expensive machinery off of a landing, like onto the sidewalk. And it's like
it's not heavy enough to be dramatic.
Yeah. Also, the guy's hammer thing. It's like there's a lot of internal cuts in that. There's a lot of internal edits.
Oh yeah, to make it look like magic.
He probably had to go like, oh shit, I need some water. Like I gotta hydrate. This is taking forever. Like there's a lot of internal cuts where the thing keeps moving around. And like,
yeah, that guy bothered to reply to me after I was like, you know, aren't you supposed to be using a bat? What's with the goggles? And then he was like, I was trying to show how silly something is, or like something like that. Like he was being ironic about it, but he wasn't, because all he was talking about is how it was alleged and we can't do this. Yeah. But then he was saying he was making a joke. It's like, you're clearly not making a joke.
I convicted him of wearing sandals and socks and a helmet.
Yeah, you want shoes. If you're going to be hammering something at your feet, you don't need fucking a hard hat. What's going to fall on your fucking head?
I just also love the idea.
I'm so mad.
Boycotts don't work by you throwing out the thing that you already paid for.
Like, no, I mean, that was the Starbucks boycott was the same thing. You're going to say Merry Christmas? We're going to fucking buy coffee.
All of it.
Capitalism doesn't work when you demand the corporations pay fealty to your ideological agenda. It doesn't make any sense. Like it's a boycott is a reaction when you're protesting a company. You're trying to say, let's hit them where it hurts in their wallet. So you go to the sponsor and say, we are not going to support your company as long as you continue to make it financially possible for this person to blah blah blah. That makes sense. Nothing makes sense about the idea that coffee company is supposed to feel bad or punished for not doing something they don't feel like doing. Like they stopped advertising during the show because so you're saying like from now on it's important that corporations really toe the line. It's important that they it's like so you're a communist. You're a fucking like what are you?
Right.
Like you're not a capitalist. Aren't you going to be lecturing me about the free market 2 days from now? Isn't this whole thing about fucking money? You suck at business. You're an idiot. You think we're gonna make money as a country in a world where you demand coffee machines love pedophilia or else? You should demand that they like coffee. Brother, because otherwise the country's gonna go broke, man. I can't do it anymore. I'm gonna fucking shoot my dogs and then myself.
Your dogs will be fine.
No.
Well, I'll shoot myself and let my dogs eat me, like in Gerald's Game.
Yeah, I mean, the dogs will be fine.
Then they'll just die or go feral and, you know, kick ass.
I mean, they're probably going to be fine. Like, probably someone
Harvey,
else will own
no,
them.
No, Nigel will be fine. Harvey won't know what the fuck to do on his own. He'll die in the first...
Harvey won't eat me. Harvey will watch Nigel eat me to the fucking bone. Nigel, I think if I sleep too late, Nigel would start nibbling my earlobes.
Nigel's from the streets.
Nigel's a fucking hardcore Echo Park baller. He doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. He doesn't even, which is nice because when I come home from a long trip, like Harvey went through a submissive peeing phase. Like, Harvey is very emotionally,
I peed all over all of my shoes.
Like, vulnerable and stuff like that. Harvey is very empathic. When Nigel does something wrong and I yell at Nigel, Harvey, like, goes and is sad for Nigel and shit. But, like, it's nice, though, because it's, like, it has its advantages, because I come home from a long trip and Nigel's just, like, just same expression on his face. He's just like, who are you? Do you want to play fetch? You know, like, he doesn't get it. But Harvey, yeah, Harvey's very connected.
Is he still eating the crotch out of your meandies?
Yeah. I mean, I've been trained to, I take better care of my underwear now.
You leave your undies in the air like he's a bear with food? You have to hide your stuff like on a high shelf?
I put everything up as high as I can, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, you could just use, like, drawers, like, you know, where people put their underwear away.
All right.
You toss your dirty underwear into some drawers.
What are you guys, my mom?
No, I mean, I'm saying that's a bad idea. Like, oh. Get all your clothes.
Oh, yeah, dirty underwear in the drawer, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Well, I have a hamper.
A hamper, there you go.
Yeah, I wasn't going to make fun of that.
Is he nefarious enough to get into a hamper, or do you knock a hamper over to get into those sweet, delicious poopy undies?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he's done that yet, but sometimes I swear, I'm like, there's no way I left these underwear out. Like I don't know. It's there's still, like, plausible deniability, though, like, where, oh, maybe I left them on the bathroom floor. But, yeah, he does some fucked up shit, man. Like, he knows it's wrong, too. Like, how dogs know exactly what they're not supposed to do, and then they're just, it's so weird. Like, you leave the room, and then they're just, like, they're up on a counter, like, eating a bowl of cheese dip, and then you come in, and they're just like,
Nigel's crazy at that, too. Like, Nigel, you can tell a difference when he knows he's being observed and when he doesn't think he's being observed. Like, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
He probably just wants attention, like a naughty child.
He wants to get away with things. Oh. Like, he knows what he'll be, you know, told not to do.
And yeah, I had Cody's dog is staying with us a lot now, Barbara, and Cody was gone, and I was just sitting the
Cody's
three dogs.
And Barbara?
Yeah. and I'm playing Mario, and then I hear this, like, crash, and I think, oh, God, Barbara probably, maybe the doggy door's barricaded. Barbara maybe knocked the barricade over. Maybe she's hurt, you know. It's a crash. I was assuming it was coming from one place, and I walked from the room where I was playing the video game down towards where I assumed the crash was coming from. And along the way, I passed my bedroom where Harvey and Nigel are both going, like, it's just so funny looking back at it, because it's like, at the time I was like, I just noticed it, but, like, wasn't thinking. The two of them just had this expression on their faces, like the expression you'd have if you were doing a line of coke at a party and somebody, like, walked in. You know, they just kind of, like, were like, they just had this, like, weird forced like casualness to them. Like, they're like, what's up, did you hear something? And then I went downstairs, and there was the doggy door was fine, and Barbara was fine, and then I'm like, wait a minute, you two, and I went up to the bedroom where they were like straightening their ties and hanging out as I walked past, and it was like,
were they humping?
What the fuck did they even do? There was like, there was a picture of me turned over on the nightstand, like, and there was a bunch of beverages in the drawer of Cody's nightstand, and it was just like it was like they were, like, I don't know, were they, like, making a fort or
a bomb?
The story didn't really end that great, but it was like, it's just funny that those guys were like
inspiring.
Yeah,
I like it.
With 10 Tony nominations, including Best Musical, the New York Post says Something Rotten is a big, fat hit. This hilarious new show tells the story of two brothers who are desperate to write their own hit play while the rock star Shakespeare keeps getting all the hits.
When a local soothsayer foretells that the future of theater involves singing, dancing, and acting at the same time, the brothers set out to write the world's very first musical. With its heart on its ruffled sleeve and sequins in its soul, New York Magazine says Something Rotten is The Producers meets Spamalot meets The Book of Mormon. It begins November 21st. The tickets are at the AmundsenTheater.org. That's the Amundsen Theater.
Now through December 31st, tickets at AmundsenTheater.org. Now, we return you to podcast.
Something Rotten. You'll float too. Steve, how's your love life? You guys hear about these Chinese murder fans?
All right. Well, did we talk through the D&D time? Or
no, we're good.
No, let's discuss this. I've been away a while, and Brandon, he told me, he just texted me and said he turned me into a caterer.
He was great.
He said he
got a lot of snacks for us.
Yeah, apparently I'm Chad the Firelicker is now Chad the snack bringer. Yeah,
he cooked us some beef jerky.
I don't know how canon that was. It wasn't beef jerky. Oh, I guess it was beef jerky. It was myrrh balls was the main thing.
Myrrh balls?
Was it like myrrh, like the herb? Or like the gift to Jesus?
Same thing.
Anyway.
You know, Fernet Branca has myrrh in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh. I can taste it just thinking about it.
I don't know what
it's so strong.
Is.
It's like a.
It's like an essence from like a root or a tree, and it's like kind of a, like a very precious sap and preservative and perfume and like kind of a healer kind of thing.
Did I talk about good. Floyd the Tree Whisperer last episode?
I don't think so.
There's shit going down with the.
Is that the guy that you waited for on Sunday?
The eucalyptus tree. Yeah.
Is this the Bootsons?
Yeah, well, remember when she talked about the a well-respected arborist or whatever? Like, yeah,
it was an episode.
I met that guy, and he, I could swear I talked about this though.
I feel like you did, yeah.
I heard about it, but I just don't remember if it was on the show or not.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was on the show.
Not on the show.
I thought so.
Well, this dude came out who looks like a Teamster. In a sleeveless shirt, but then I started noticing things like his tattoos were kind of like.
Sorry, that was I hit that by mistake. That was not.
Well, I just noticed he had tattoos, even though he looked kind of straight laced. But then, and then also he had like blue nail polish on with like yellow moons on the like somebody had spent time on his nails, and then he's talking about. The tree and how he can tell me if the tree needs to be cut down, which it does because it's dead. But then he needed to talk to the tree for a second, and as he stepped forward, I realized that the shirt he was wearing was a Gal Gadot Wonder Woman shirt. It was just the front didn't have anything on it, but then the back that was like, just the greatest like reveal that he was wearing this like Wonder Woman shirt the whole time.
But he went over to talk to the tree.
He talked to the tree. He's like, this tree is like really sad and dying and dead and like.
Did he put his hand on it? Like, how does he talk to it?
Well, yeah, I know. Well, I didn't. That was my mistake, not his. But he also showed us. He's like, this is dangerous. There's like this shit on it, like this kind of rot that it's like a fungus that grows on dead. Wood and it like if the neighbor's kid like started playing with it, it could get really sick. Like it could create. He said he almost died once because he inhaled a bunch of it, and it like grows a fungus in your lungs and stuff. And
is that when a tree attacks?
I mean the tree has just been dying for a long time. It's like, you know, it's hollow. It's like the roots aren't even connected to the trunk. It's just this giant eucalyptus tree that's like leaning towards my neighbor's house and ready to fall on it.
Damn
it. $8,000 it will cost to cut it down.
What?
Do you split that?
I don't know. They have a landlord.
You should light it on fire.
Is the worry that it will fall over and crash into your like into your house and kill everybody?
Yeah. It will one day fall on my neighbor's house.
We had to cut down when I was a kid. I grew up with giant eucalyptus trees in our neighborhood when I was a little kid in Tustin, and there was like the garage and like that side of the house and like a 5-foot gap and then the house, and then in between that was a hill with a giant, like, you know, 100-foot eucalyptus tree, this giant tree, and they cut it down and it fell exactly in between. These pros came in and did all this math and all this stuff and checked the windage and all this shit, and it went boom right in between the houses.
Damn.
If it had gone a foot either way, it would have destroyed something.
Yeah, I don't think
amazing.
They do it like that anymore. I think they do it in chunks from the top down.
And that's why Floyd won't be a part of it. Floyd
he can't
said,
see it.
He said, I've come here to tell you that the tree needs to be cut down, needs to be, you know, put out of its misery or whatever. And I won't do it myself. I won't take that money. I won't take that job because he characterized it like as he's gotten older, he's learned to empathize with humans almost as much as trees. And so he's really worried about the day laborers that you bring in to, like, these guys climb up. If you've ever seen these people bring down a big tree in Los Angeles, it's harrowing.
Yeah.
I understand what he's saying completely. I can't believe that anyone asks anyone to do that job. It's insane. Like, they go up with these ropes and they're just chainsawing shit up there, and they're tying things. It's just like, it looks like a Cirque du Soleil act, but designed to kill a human. And so he doesn't want any part of that, but he demanded that I notify him when we do decide to cut the tree down, because he wants to come out and do a memorial service. So, which I definitely will be, like, recording.
Live tweeting.
I will not be mocking it. I will be sharing it with as many people as possible, because this guy's definitely a very interesting dude.
That's pretty weird.
I kept making jokes, and he's just one of those guys. It's like, my jokes were not landing with this guy, you know. Like, I was like, man, I feel really bad, like, because I feel like I'm a party to this, because I moved into this house and I replaced the pipes. They were clay pipes from 1929. I mean, like, this tree must have been so excited when I moved in, taking all my nacho shits and stuff, and now, and then I replaced the pipes with plastic, so it's probably, like, that's probably part of what, you know, I starved it out. Yeah. It was roots were growing into my pipes and causing the sewage to back up into my bathtub.
Let's play a little of this D&D, shall we?
All right.
D&D.
Dan, while Spencer hands down the character sheets, what was the sound that when you heard Barbara and Nigel knocking things over? Like, did you hear some sort of crash in the background?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I think it was
did it go a little something like this? Or maybe when you heard that, did you make this response? And then you go, uh-oh, I had a lot to eat today, so.
did my dick just take a shit?
This is comedy you cannot find anywhere else.
This is top notch.
This is public radio level. FM. I guess not public. Yeah, man.
I mean, it's been a bad episode, but
this is good. This is what the people want.
Oh, hello, Dan Harmon. Oh shit, a dinosaur's on the phone.
That sounded like a plane.
Nobody wants a dinosaur on the fucking phone.
I think we will. We need to add the functionality where we can just go to the subscribers and they can ask questions up on the screen and then we can answer them.
That'd be great.
So, we're working on it.
Yeah,
we'll work harder.
This is only gonna work on the people who are subscribing live. But just once again, Callie is doing a Kickstarter. It's only got 2 days left. It seems like she might not make it. So donate. It's important to me because we're financially linked as a result of being roommates.
And if you wait too long,
I'll flush you down a toilet.
God, so good to be back, you guys.
All right, Spence.
I really missed you.
Should we cue him up? Let's do that recap.
You guys remember. Jeff doesn't remember. What doesn't Jeff remember?
Do you want music for your recap, or do you want to do this a cappella?
I could do it either way, but answer my question before you start the music.
Let's see. I have notes here.
Not your notes. What do you remember?
Nothing. It was 1,000 years ago.
I promise it was not.
Brother Absalom might have a mission, I wrote down.
Do you remember what that means?
Nope. A seminal horse, adventure. Oh, we're going out on the adventure of Passion's Gem.
Yeah, you remember. Okay. Okay, great. So hit the music.
Even though you sounded less than thrilled about us choosing to go on the adventure of Passion's Gem.
If you'll recall, I often sound less than thrilled about
That's
most
true.
Things.
It's kind of your thing.
Yeah.
Cue this guy up.
All right, let's get some music up here for some Spencers.
Boom, boom. Last time on Harmon Quest.
Harmontown. Sorry. Harmontown.
Oh, yeah.
Harmon Quest is a TV show.
Oh, shit.
On Verve.
Last time
on Harmontown. What was happening? Our heroes had completed their mission. They returned to Pureburn Keep to turn it in, and they had a debriefing with the guys, who took Patchens to talk to him some more, and you guys agreed to meet him, and then you went to the tavern. You tried appetizers at the tavern, but Diarrhea Jr. could not be dissuaded by the snacks and instead went to seek out Patchens, and he sought him out, and he found Patchens, and Patchens was pissed. Patchens was like, I just want to tell you guys, fuck you guys, and I'm leaving. I gotta handle my business, and fuck you. And he left, and then Diarrhea Jr. went back to the tavern, and they discussed what to do. And I think that Dan might have wanted to help him, and then Jeff didn't want to help him for a while, and then Jeff really wanted to help him. And then Jeff went to help him, and he summoned a horse. Oh, yeah. He summoned the horse, and he found Patchens, and he told him to wait right there. And then he did wait right there. And then they all arrived and talked to Patchens. And after a discussion, they agreed to join the quest for Patchens' gem. Now. Dan.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right. So after that, was Brandon played Chad the Firelicker for a little while, but did a whole lot get done? Or you guys?
No,
just,
you agreed to do the quest, and then okay. Geffen showed up, and he was like, hey, it seems like everyone at this town is on pot or some shit.
Which one's Geffen?
Geffen was the guy that, remember, he came up on a horse, and then he threw the prior.
It was
the
a beautiful
prior.
Horse. It was white.
I don't think it was. I don't remember. But he came, you'll recall the prior ran away in right. a combat. And Geffen showed up and was like, yo, and then he tossed the prior down to you guys, and then he left. And then the debriefing, he also just made an appearance.
Right. So now it's the three of us going on the adventure of Patchens' gem.
Right.
And we're arriving at this town, which is the place where we think the banditos, who were actually disguised as banditos, but were in fact guild assassins. Professional assassins. Right. It's pretty clear they came from this town.
Dornester?
It seemed like they did because it was a very nearby town to the site of the burglary, and it's a town of roughs and brigands, you know, the kind of people who commit crimes.
And the name of that town is what?
Dornester.
Dornester.
And Geffen has left us, but I said to him, you know, let us know if you notice anything, you know, if you hear anything about a job that was taken by any professionals involving waylaying strangers outside of town.
Right. You had mentioned that to him.
But I didn't want to tell Geffen too much because we don't know if he's a good guy or bad guy.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
He could be one of those good guys that turns out to be a bad guy.
Right. Okay, so where do we stand right now? Are we on foot? Are we in Dornester? Are we on?
You're not
on route?
In Dornester. You had I don't remember exactly. You're certainly on the way to Dornester. So
we were pretty close.
Yeah.
Are we traveling on foot? We've got our wagon.
You're on foot, all right. As far as I understand. At the crest of a hill, you can see the town and the outlying area below. You're kind of. Yeah, you're at the crest of a hill. Dornester is calm and quiet, with only a few flickering lights visible in the night. You can hear soft music, as if from a lute, that floats gently into your ears. A haunting and mournful harp melody. I guess it's not a lute, it's a harp.
Ooh.
Melody coming from the valley below you. It's a weird time. It's late in the night, so it's a weird time to hear music.
Let's go to the concert.
Is my... my sort of arcane. How easy would it be for me to recognize this as possibly magical, beguiling music? You know,
Do you have any ranks in knowledge arcane? Not
Wait,
just
I listen as close as I can, Spencer.
Uh huh. All right.
I only have ranks in knowledge, religion. Everything else is like checked off, but not. I don't have any numbers.
Right. What's your?
Did you guys hear that harp?
My intelligence.
Yeah, it's a mournful melody.
7.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's good. Certainly amazing music. You can't divine whether or not it's magical. It's highly skilled. Whoever's playing it.
So we don't see who's playing.
No, it's coming from really far away.
It's kind of a.
It's carrying on.
It's kind of repetitive. It's kind of a one note song.
It sounds like a morning zoo team.
We got to go. We got to see this. I love music. I love live music.
All right, let's check out the music.
A few more minutes of travel brings you to the edge of a very curious sight. A graveyard! Curious.
Again?
Within the fence of the cemetery, you can see skeletal, undead creatures writhing along around the fence. They're kind of inside the cemetery, kind of writhing around the fence. The music plays on. Occasionally, this is like one of those like Disney books where you press the button of like Rafiki's face. Yeah.
So there's skeletal creatures?
Yeah, inside the graveyard. Occasionally, you can see one of the gravestones in the cemetery topples over. You're still far off, and nothing's noticed you yet.
Okay, everybody get down. So I want to be clear on this. What we're seeing, like, the dead rising? That's not why the gravestones are getting toppled over, maybe?
Yeah, that's kind of what it's looking at.
And like, you said they're writhing against the fence?
Yeah, they're kind of leaning up against the fence, but they're not, like, trying to beat it down or anything. They're leaning up against it. You notice the cemetery is alive with movement. In time with the music, you can hear thudding and bumping.
They're dancing.
Throughout the cemetery, rumbling earth and shaking dew off of grass. The gravestones themselves are falling over as graves burst open and new corpses burst forth from the soil. They kind of get up and pull themselves out of the ground and start wandering around a little bit. But after a little tiny bit of wandering around, they kind of lose interest and just plop down on the soil, like take a seat or like lean up against something. Most of them are just kind of hanging out, leaning up against the fences.
This music is so good that the dead wanted to, they came back to life to hear it.
Mm.
They look wistful, but mindless.
This doesn't look like something we want to just jump into. I think we should just watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we see where the music's coming from?
No, it's a lot louder now that you're by the graveyard, but you can't tell. It's kind of like there's forest around, and you can't really pinpoint a location.
Is it?
It still sounds like
it's
that.
Nighttime. Is it? How?
Let's call it 3 a.m. It's misty and foggy.
So there's absolutely no way to.
We got people rising from their graves, getting up, walking around for a second, and then just kind of losing interest and hanging out.
Right.
So somebody's summoning the dead out of their graves, guys.
Yeah.
Spencer, do I have like enhanced hearing?
Do you have perception?
I have perception of 4.
You have mildly enhanced hearing. Do you want
to? Yeah,
listen?
Yeah. I use my hearing to see or to listen for exactly where that music is coming from.
All right. You pinpoint it. It seems like. There's a little bit of forest interposing the graveyard and the town proper, and it seems like it's coming from within one of the stands of trees.
Do you guys? I think the harp is coming from inside that tree area. Right. Should we go check it out?
Yeah, let's sneak up over there.
You guys have stealth, right?
I got loads of stealth.
This guy's got loads of stealth.
No, I don't. I don't have any stealth.
Right, you're not Bone Weevil.
I have a 5 stealth.
Okay, that's good. That might be the best.
Well, I think you should check it out, because we don't all want to bumble over there.
All right, Spence. I'm going to stealthily make my way to that tree.
All right. Kid, if there's any trouble, come running back here, okay? I'm a cleric.
Okay.
Dealing with zombies is my thing. I just don't
think
we should.
These seem like friendly zombies. Let's not attack them yet.
We don't have time for this conversation.
They're all chilling and listening to the music, man.
They're being commanded by someone. That person probably has nefarious purposes. There's nothing nice about the undead. They just follow orders.
Yeah, go sneak up and report back to us.
Okay.
You attempt to sneak up, but almost instantly you hear the music abruptly stop. And then from within the trees, you see a burst of ruby light and then nothing. It's silent again, but the silence is quickly overtaken by the sounds of zombies not being as chilled out as they were before.
Oh, no.
The music they're groaning, making noises.
How close are Carlos and I to the zombies?
How far away do you want to be?
Well, I mean,
pretty far.
Yeah, 50 yards.
Okay, I'll say 50 yards. But
that's far.
Steve's much closer. Let's say Steve's about 20 feet off. So You guys are pretty far away, kind of spying on Steve, and he's up trying to creep. He was trying to creep kind of around or past the graveyard. And
how far is that ruby light from where I was?
Let's say 60, more than 100 feet.
Oh, 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too far.
No, but yeah, it's not too far. But yeah, now the undead are starting to try and climb over the fence. They're not very coordinated, so it's hard. And then others are trying to like rip open the fence and break it down.
If we get bitten by the undead,
no.
Okay.
They just want to kill you and absorb your life essence.
Are they coming for us?
They're certainly.
Do they see us?
You can't. You guys, from your vantage point, can tell that they can see Steve because he's close. But you guys are apparently, or it seems, far enough away to be evading detection.
And how many boogans we got right now?
Right now, there's eight.
Eight boogans. We can handle eight clumsy boogans.
Are they between me and that? Like, so I can't run back to chat.
No, you can. You're outside of the graveyard, and they're still inside the graveyard.
Okay, so they're not between me and them.
No. They're trying to be, though.
Oh, boy. All right. I mean, in regular Dungeons & Dragons, as a cleric, I would have this power called Turn Undead, you know?
I think you should have it. Can I see your sheet?
I know how to read these things. I'm a real pro. Yeah, Turn Undead. It's in the middle-ish there. You see it?
I think under feats.
Spencer, could I have a different loadout from last time? Would I have had time to reset on that?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
And, okay, all right, fuck it. Well, I'm down if you are. I mean...
Let's do this. I got my offensive loadout right now. I'm ready to kick Boogan, but...
All right.
Does diarrhea look like he's in any danger right now?
He certainly seems to be, close to in danger. I mean, he's certainly being threatened by undead. They're just not... like surrounding him.
I say we go on the offensive while they're still behind the fence, and we can take some pot shots at him.
Yeah, we're there's no point in stealth. Let's just head for Steve and help him.
All right. Well, Steve should go first because he's the closest.
I'm gonna go toward the ruby.
Okay. All right. You do that. You go. You can do a double move, 60 feet. All right, you get about halfway there. If you sprint, you could get all the way there.
Okay, I'll sprint there.
All right, you're winded, but you get there. You can smell...
Uh-oh.
It smells like myrrh. But you don't really see anything. There's no real footprints or anything you can see. There is a large, like, stump, tree stump, like, of a tree that's been cut down.
In recent time?
An eucalyptus tree. No. Just like a big old tree stump. All right, that's your turn. One of you guys go. 50 yards. That's 150 feet.
Okay, I say we get, like, in battle formation with DJ so that we're close together. Or is it better to kind of get in flanking positions and kind of, like kind of have them, like, because is the cemetery a big square enclosure, or what is it?
It's mostly square. It's like a rectangle, but yeah.
Like, how big from side to side?
50 feet by 30 feet.
Okay.
Once I get within 30 feet of all of them, I have a chance to make any or all of them flee.
Okay, let's do that.
They're still within the bounds.
I'll be right behind you, and if I need to start throwing firebolts, I'm right behind you, because you know I like fire.
You know it, dog! All right, so you're 150 feet away. It's going to take at least two turns to move into position if you sprint. So
okay, we take that first sprint.
All right, you do that. Everyone's winded now. It's great. I mean, it's tiring, but it's great. The undead, their turn. Two undead come over the fence and are closing in on diarrhea, but they're still not to him yet. The other undead, there was eight. The other six undead break open the fence and they're starting to spill out through the side of the fence, kind of now blocking off diarrhea's path to. Dan and Jeff. So now you're kind of surrounding them in a way, but there's more of them than you. So
okay.
Now it's
DJ's turn. Let's get these guys in the crossfire.
How far away from them am I?
You're 20 feet from the nearest two.
And they're moving pretty slowly.
Yeah, these are slow moving and dead. They move very slowly. Zombies. If you want to think, we can make someone else's turn.
No, no. I want to take out my bow and go for some headshots.
You know from your clerical experience that headshots don't kill zombies like in The Walking Dead.
They don't.
Not one shot, at least. I mean, there's still... it's damage is damage, but it's not...
What do I know?
Well, they're magic, so, you know, you just kind of have to destroy the corpse.
All right, well, then I go for the easiest body part to hit.
All right. Center of mass. What's your attack bonus?
5.
Okay.
Times damage. 3 for a crit.
What's the damage? Ooh. I don't remember anyone's shit. I used to know all this stuff.
Where does it say that?
Under the weapon.
Oh, 128 plus 2. Is that possible?
1d8,
yeah.
What fun. Dungeons and Dragons.
Listening to people read.
All right.
It's been a low-key episode.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
You slice one of the zombies in half. He goes down.
With an arrow?
Oh, wait, you're shooting him?
Yeah, okay. It was my bow.
You don't. You shoot him. It barely affects him.
Oh, oh damn it.
Oh, man. Well,
it sinks right into his soft zombie flesh.
You should have used that sword, Jack.
Yeah, that's what I thought was happening. My bad.
That's okay.
All right. Dan and or Jeff.
Take it, Dan.
Well... my goal is to get within 30 feet of as many of these guys as possible.
Uh-huh.
So...
you can do that, but you can't also act. Like, you can sprint the rest of the way, but you can't sprint and then be close enough.
Well, okay. So I'll spend this turn positioning myself.
Great. You do that. You put yourself into what you think will be exactly the space that the zombies will be able to move into on their turn.
Okay.
Well, I guess I do the same thing.
It's tactically sound. All right. The zombies, they come very close to you, but they can't. You know, you really measured it right.
What's our range right now?
You're within 10 feet of these guys.
So
you're
within 10 feet of the six. They've made their move, and so it's back in our court right
they're
now.
They're kind of, yeah, they're right into your trap, so to speak, if you're setting a trap. The other zombie who's, the other two zombies who are both not dead come at diarrhea. They're throwing hands. What's your armor class? It should be towards the top left.
Top left.
21.
Oh shit! They stab at you with their bony fingers, but it just glances harmlessly off your armor. It's good armor, and they're just zombies. So, well,
because they're doing that, can I just full attack them?
Oh, you do. See, this is something I always forget. But as they approach you, you get an attack of opportunity because they entered a space you threaten.
Yep.
Attack of opportunity.
What's your attack bonus? For melee?
For melee?
Yeah, like the arrow one that you did. Sorry, people.
But for my full attack?
No, nah, for your attack. Just one of them.
When is my phone coming?
7.
I think...
stay focused.
This next week. I think within a week.
Within a week? I got my phone later than everybody.
I got
two guys helping me.
I can't tell you how terrible I feel about it. It's... I have an iPhone X, and I feel like that's the worst possible outcome. Like, I would rather you had mine, and I got yours, like, weeks after you're getting yours, than what actually happened, which is me having one and you not having
but
one.
But Spencer's
it's a real
on
bummer.
Verizon, so maybe that,
that
made
no,
it
that
easy.
Is why, because the second we could get an AT&T phone, it was 2 weeks. But I did mine after that, and it was, like, launch day, Verizon. So, yeah, I think it was just AT&T. Sorry, everybody. Great right. tangent.
Attack of opportunity.
It fails.
Oh.
What?
Carlos, fuck. Attack.
All right. Am I in position?
Yep.
Oh, hi, call, flame, aha. Not good gibberish.
What's your...
What's my charisma? Comedy Sports Workshop level? basic.
Yeah, charisma? What UCB level are you?
Oh, ha, flame, aha. Oh, great. What am I, Chevy Chase? It's wait, sorry. What you were
charisma?
Charisma.
Yeah.
16
Brandon
ability modifier plus 3.
All right.
Flare! Turn!
All right. Four of them flee. Two of them don't flee.
What do? They don't flee. That's it.
So you what's the spell called you just cast?
Turn undead.
Turn undead, meaning they just turn and bone out?
It's more of a
they literally
bone out.
It's
more of a feat.
They boned out.
Ah, feats rarely fail me now.
All right, so now we're down to what? We're down to four boogans?
Two. Oh, yeah, well, four, because two for Steve and two for you guys.
All right, summon nature's ally.
What are you summoning?
What do I got? I don't have my list
for that.
Summon nature's ally. I should get up in the morning. Your daughter's going to college. Get a cup of coffee from a company that lets you fuck her.
Hello, I'm Sam Elliott for Keurig.
You know, just because your daughter's going to college doesn't mean she's too old to fuck.
I'm no good at child molestation until I've had my first cup. Come to Keurig.
There's a saying in Alabama, the early bird gets the worm, and the worm gets the early bird, if you know what I mean. If there's grass in the field, it's time to play ball.
Jesus Christ.
What level...
get out in front of your lover.
What?
With the exciting energy boost
the level
from a
spell.
Keurig coffee cup.
Okay. Dire rat, dolphin, dog, eagle, poison frog, giant centipede, fire beetle, pony, sturge, which is like a bat.
I'm going to summon pony. I'm going to get on that pony, and I'm going to fucking start just...
A palomino.
Wait, a palomino?
It's a palomino.
Don't distract the kid.
Wait, is there a palomino or just pony?
It's a nondescript horse. It may very well be a palomino.
Okay, I'm going to get on that horse for two reasons. One, because it gives me a better attack advantage, and I know it's going to make DJ fucking fire the hell up and stop failing all of his attacks of opportunity.
Or pony just... power!
I summon a horse.
All right, you summon a horse. What do you want the horse to do?
I want him to appear next to me and saddled up and ready for action.
All right, it does that.
All right, I get on the horse.
Okay.
Is that my whole move?
Yeah, but the horse can do something.
He tries to run the nearest one down, just trample him.
Okay.
Can I name my horse?
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Stuart.
Fucking A.
You know, young girls are getting faster every day. That means they're harder to catch.
But doesn't mean your coffee can't be delicious. The all-new Keurig 5000. No hammer can take it apart. You can throw it off any apartment building from floors four and lower. And I'll be darned if the coffee isn't still just as piping hot and good as it can be.
Hey, it's your coffee. We just support pedophilia.
Wait, do we? No, we don't anymore.
Well, we don't.
Yeah.
This is the company.
We're the coffee company that doesn't care what you watch.
the world that guy wants to live in.
Right.
Like the.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just because we're dedicated to profit doesn't mean we can't have an agenda. And that we want that agenda to be as criminal as possible.
Hello, I'm Mr. Coffee. I support pedophilia 100%.
You know, the age of consent in Mr. Coffee's land of origin is a ripe 11. It's true. I'm British. Look it up.
Let's get back to work, I guess.
All right. So you run one of the... You try to run two of them over. You knock them both down, but you only really, like, stomp on one of them. So you stomp one of them to death.
Oh, shit.
Dealing 5 damage.
Way to go, Stuart. I give him a nice little pat.
Oh, yeah. He's digging it.
He likes that.
Yeah. The other one kind of gets knocked over, but it's not dead.
I continue my ride and kind of circle back into action, kind of reposition.
All right. Yeah. And Dan went... Zombies. Okay. The zombies attack. They attack Dan. It's a critical hit.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Was that my fault? Was my sound effect so good that it made him a critical hit?
You take 12 damage.
Ooh. Jesus.
Oh, no.
Did you have to endow that zombie with such a bellicose...
What was that?
Pac-Man?
It's called Game Over.
Yeah.
I guess it was Pac-Man. All right. And Steve also gets attacked by two zombies. One of them smacks you in the face.
Ouch.
You take 4 damage.
So it was just one zombie took got me for 12?
It was a critical, yeah. Oof. And I rolled really high.
Does it leave any cool scars, like battle scars?
It only leaves a really embarrassing scar.
What a bummer.
It's like a cup mark on your butt.
It's like a cup on my...
purple circle on your butt.
All right.
All right, go for it.
Whose turn?
I think DJ.
Can I... So how many are by me? 2?
2.
Can I attack both of them with my elvish blade?
Yeah. What's your full attack now?
My full attack
is... Yeah, you can full attack at this point.
+5, +5.
Awesome. All right. You hit with both. What's the damage on the full attack?
1d10 plus 1d6 plus 8.
It is 10 o'clock, just so you guys know.
Hmm. Oh, man, you cut them both down.
Oh,
you
yeah!
smash one in the head with your shield and slice the other one in half. Boom!
Jesus. All right.
You like that one?
Yeah, well, that was very
good.
Appropriate.
That was the best one
so far. It was
so
sort of like it turned role-playing into like a sports event. Like.
Man, there's a guy who makes an app for this, for DMing, and he'd be so pissed if we knew we were just using a soundboard and not his crazy app that he gave me for free.
I want the app.
I don't. It's a lot of work.
Okay, I don't want that app.
No, I mean, you could do it. You could. This is a great idea.
Sorry.
You could do the music.
It's a bad call. I didn't know what that was going to be.
Put a window in the windowless van of your fatigue with Keurig coffee.
You don't want windows.
Yeah. Eliminate the window of...
Oh, there you go.
Of exhaustion.
You know...
Your van.
Sitting all day in your van outside the kindergarten is awful tiresome. That's why I turn to the cool, refreshing cup of Keurig coffee.
If child blood was came out of the faucet, we wouldn't need coffee.
Here's to the rest of us.
I guess I'm graduating the guy to murder. Nice.
All right. So so where are we at?
You guys are having a turn.
Okay.
And there's one zombie left.
One zombie left. One of my spells says fire blade, but I don't think I have a sword other than my knife, do I?
No, it conjures a fire blade.
Oh, well, then I'm riding around on Stuart the horse. I'm going to conjure a fire blade and finish the job.
All right.
Fireblade!
Do you know how much damage the fireblade does?
Fireblade?
It probably does 1d8
plus 2. The back of Jeff's
2.
Page is just a smiling dick on it.
Fireblade, where are you? Show yourself, Fireblade. Flameblade. It's a... 1d8 plus 1 per 2 spell. Yeah, so 1d8.
That was one off. All right. You slice it right in the neck, and it catches fire. Holy fire. Like a silver flame. It catches silver flames.
Holy fire.
And the silver flames consume it. It's like, it burns to fine white ash. It's way hotter than a normal fire would be.
Fucking flame blade.
Yeah.
Now, am I just left holding a flame blade for the next 2 minutes or what?
For a couple turns, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What happens if you smoke that ash?
That's you can't just muse.
I kind of want
possibilities. You have to try.
I
want to
be like the guy in Flesh and Blood. There's this movie, Flesh and Blood, with Rutger Hauer and Jennifer Jason Leigh. It's like really awesome, like medieval movie. And there's like a cleric kind of guy in it. And this is my impression of him.
I see a sign from the gods. I see a silver flame consuming the rotting flesh of our enemy! And I see Chad the Firelicker holding that flame! This is our destiny! We are here to conquer!
Cliffhanger! We did it, everybody!
Hell yeah.
Where's that music? Oh, come on, give me some music.
Do-do-do-do-do.
There we go. We did it again. Let's
watch
have a Steve Levy, everybody.
Flesh and Blood with Rutger Hauer and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
That was an amazing ending.
It's a little sexually problematic. It's kind of like slightly to the misogynistic side of Peckinpah, but
But it's still a really cool movie if, you know, you don't get enough D&D in movies.
Let's thank everybody here. We got Zach and Kevin and Sarah and Noah and Kevin and everybody. No, not Kevin. Chris, goddammit. And how about me? I'm your comptroller, Jeff Davis. Thank you for having me back, everybody. Let's hear for Spencer Crittenden, the Game Master Extraordinaire. Church on photos, wherever she's gone. We did it again. Dan rapping his heart away. Dan Harmon, your mayor, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. We'll see you on the flip-flop. Drive fast. Take chances. Good night, all. Zach, you got Musicantes to play us out?